All right, if you got your Bibles, I hope you do. Turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we're in our Life According to Jesus series as we're going through the Sermon of the Mount with kind of using the Beatitudes as a control text or control verses. Today we're going to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, and then also verses 27 through 30. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, and then Matthew chapter 5, 27 through 30. Now, let me ask you this. Do you want to see or know God in your life? And the answer is? Yes. Absolutely. Today, guys, we're going to talk about how you can do that. That's pretty important. We're going to talk about how you can see God, how you can know God, how you can be in a relationship with him in your life. And if you're already in a relationship with him, we can talk about how you can see him and know him better. That should be what's on our hearts. Let me give you a key statement today as you get ready to start. If we want to see God, to know him, to have a relationship with him, oh man, hear this. Ooh, this is important. If we want to see God, to know God better, there must be a movement of the entire person towards purity. Wow, that's not like a super popular statement, but it's so true. If you want to see God, if you want to know God, if you want to enrich your relationship with him, there must be a movement of the entire person that's internally and externally toward purity. And maybe I should add, purity as defined by God. Not by you and not by me, but purity as defined by God. And so we're going to begin to unpack that today. So if you will stand with me in reading of God's word, we're going to read verse 8 and then verses 27 through 30. And this is God's word for us today, starting verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 27, you have heard it was said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with a lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than your whole body to go into hell. Lord Jesus, we want to see you. Father God, we want to live a life of purity and to know you, to have a deep connection with you. Today, Lord Jesus, work in our hearts and our minds as we hear your word, as your word is so clear, and the things that we need to do to grow in our relationship with you, or to, Father, for maybe for the first time to come into a relationship with you. Speak through this broken vessel who also desires to be pure, who also needs this word, Lord Jesus, and let it transform us and change us to your glory, God. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Here we go. Here we go. Looking at the Beatitude. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now listen, seeing God, there's a couple different ways to think about this, because remember, this is pre-cross. And so one of the ways we can think about this is purely in salvation and in a future sense. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God, because God has done something for them forever and forever. And so we will be guaranteed eternity and to see Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I want you to circle in your Bibles or tap, highlight it, in him on that verse. God has done something through Jesus. Now, hear me, if you're out there, and you've not made a commitment to Jesus Christ and to have this relationship with him and to be able to know God, understand this. God made him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, circle it, underline it, we might become the righteousness of God. But hear me when I say this, it is only in Jesus Christ for which we have this. John 14:6 says this, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Remembering the verse just before that Paul said it was only in Christ? And Jesus is also telling us here that it's only through him can we have eternal life, can we have this purity, can we ultimately and eventually see God in heaven or upon his return to earth. Listen, when you unite with God like this, he does in one very real sense, once and for all and forever, give you a pure life. Anybody drink Crystal Light? Anybody? I do because I really love Cokes and Dr. Peppers and Mountain Dews and Mellow Yellows, and but my wife gets onto me all the time. And so at home, basically what I get to drink is Crystal Light, okay? It's just the way that it is. But listen, when you mix, you have some water and you have the Crystal Light and you mix it together, it becomes something completely different and you can't change that, right? You were one thing, something got added to you, something changed you, you're something different. This happens when you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, in one sense, in a very real sense, your heart is changed. The Father looks at you and he sees the purity of Jesus Christ. It's also like OxyClean. Remember those old commercials? Heart, Jesus, clean. God sees you this way. But listen, we don't always feel this way. We don't always faith this way. We don't always think this way. And so there's this wrestle we have in life before we can become the way that God sees us in heaven. And that's what we're going to really press down and talk about today. And we'll come back to this. We'll come back to this. Because we want this. We need this. Our heart craves this. We will come back to this. But the other way to think about this is more like sanctification or this relationship with God as it is right now, not in the future, not as God sees us, but the way that we feel and the way that we think about things and see things in our life, this desire, this now and not yet, this we want to be pure now, but yet we know that we falter and we fail. And so he's talking about this seeing God in this. And it's not necessarily that we would see God, see Jesus stand right here before us, or see the Father in some special apparition. I don't think it's necessarily talking about that, but what it's talking about is seeing God, is having a relationship with him. I can talk about, I'm going to go see someone, and it's not that I'm going to go see him, right? Like, let's say that I'm going to go see David. Well, yes, of course, I'm going to see him, but what I really mean is I'm going to go and I'm going to connect with David in relationship. I'm going to be with him. Listen, blessed are pure in heart, because they're going to be able to connect with God. They're going to be able to be close to God. They're going to be able to see him and to hear him in their lives. And I'm telling you, if you hear God, if you connect with God, if you're with him in your life, you are blessed. And I think that's what it's talking about here. But to do that in ever greater ways, we need to make sure that we're striving for purity. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 says it this way, okay? Verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in your conduct. Now, if you wanted to, you could underline holy in your conduct and right beside it, outward. Outward, holy in your conduct, the things you do, the external, outward things. Since it is written in verse 16, you shall be holy for I am holy. This also includes the inward. Now, Peter follows up on this thought, right? This sanctification language, this growing in holiness, this being like God and to be able to see him. It's both inner and outer. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, he follows up. Watch how he does this. So his divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, something inward that we're to partake of. This life and godliness he talked about earlier, it has to do with that exterior. So you have this godliness, this godly way about you, but you're also having something inwardly happening here to you in this being a partaker of the divine nature, this continual work within you. It goes on to say, we're partakers of this divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. There should be this desire among us to be pure. Not just when we stand before the Father, but even now in growing like Jesus Christ, this inward and outward change. And guys, this is very different than what we see in the world. Or at least it should be very different. This purity is defined by God. When it says here, this corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire, I believe it was last week, I wasn't preaching. And so I took my family and we went and had a little fun escape getaway. I've never been to Mall of America. But I've heard of Mall of America. And so I took my family, and we had a great time, and we got on these different rides, and, you know, it was just awesome. We had a wonderful time. My kids loved it. You did the upside-down twisty things, all that, the little straight drop ride there, SpongeBob SquarePants ride, I think that was. It was good. It was a good family time. But I want to tell you, my heart was sad. Because there was ladies and men wearing things that they shouldn't be wearing. And here's the thing, guys. It's not like they were trying to be bad. It's not like they knew what was right and chose to do wrong. I don't really think that was the case. I don't think culture anymore, I don't think they understand purity as defined by God. I'm walking by these people and I'm seeing what they're wearing and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know, my heart hurts because, you know, there was that initial like, oh, you know, why are they doing it? They don't know any better, guys. Culture has come to the place now, and it's defined in a sense now that they don't understand even what we as Christians are thinking about purity and modesty. And that hurt my heart. I wasn't angry at all. I was sad. But guys, if our hearts, if we truly want to see God, right? If we strive for that purity in here first and externally, inward and outward, we're going to see God. And hear me. They're going to see God in us, and they will be drawn to Him. And in time, we can share with them the truth about what God says is blessed and what is not blessed. And so we have a lot to say about this seeing God. We're going to come back to it, seeing God one day when He comes back or we go to see Him. But we're going to talk about those inwards, that inward change that we need and the external change that we need to be able to see God more closely today and hopefully, be able to impact our world through what God does for us. So you ready? Let's do it. All right, so let's talk about this heart language. Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now listen, the heart metaphorically is used to represent the inner person, right? The motives, the attitude, it's the center of personality. A lot of ancient cultures use the heart in this way. But scripturally, biblically, in a Judeo-Christian mindset, it also includes the thinking process, and particularly the thinking process as it involves the will. In Matthew 9:4, Jesus literally says, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts?" Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? It's all of this on the inside. It's our mind, it's our emotions, it's everything. Another way that you could say this is the heart is the totality of the inner person. It's when we're talking about the heart biblically, it's the totality of the inner person. The heart is the control center of the mind, will, and emotion. So when we're saying we need this pure heart, we're talking about all of the inner man. It needs to be pure. Let's drive down even more. It says pure, blessed are the pure in heart. This word pure is a form of the word for which we get catharsis. It's this cleansing from dirt, filth, contamination. In psychology and counseling, it's used for cleansing of the mind or emotion. When referred to in metals, it talks about being refined, unmixed, unalloyed, unadulterated. It's something that is pure and clean and devoted to God alone. It is a pure heart. It is the inward man devoted single-heartedly, single-mindedly to God. This is important, guys, because we have a lot of things pulling at our inner man or inner woman, don't we? But are we striving for that purity, that single-mindedness of what does God want for me? It's what it's talking about here. Because listen, we need to see God. If we want to see God, there must be a movement of the entire person, not just the external, but the internal, if we want to see God. Because a lot of us, we get kind of okay with I'm not doing that big sin. Or if you look at my life, generally you think I'm a pretty holy person. That's not good enough for God, guys. there's much, much more to this. God wants a pure heart starting on the inside as well as what happens on the outside. Watch how Jesus, I'm telling you, I've been doing this a long time, and I still get amazed at Jesus and his brilliance. Watch what he does here as we turn and we start to look over. Go to Matthew 5, 21 through 22, right? Just kind of turn there in your Bible. It's right there close. Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. We're about to talk about what's called the antithetical teaching of Jesus, right? There's six antithetical statements that Jesus makes, and we're going to talk about one of them. But calling them antithetical is a bit of a misnomer. Now, antithetical, it's basically this. You have heard it was said to those of old, or you've heard it was said, but I say to you. Okay? You've heard it was said, but I say to you. It sounds antithetical. You've heard this. Antithetically, though, this is what it really is. All right? But that's a bit of a misnomer, because it's not really that Jesus is saying that. So in Matthew 5, 17, right before he says that, he says, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets or to be antithetical to them. I have come to fulfill them." So here's what Jesus is saying. It's not just this, but it's also this. And what we'll see is this is the real starting point to get us to this external confirmation. This is good. This is even better. You guys follow me? Here we go. So let's look at it in verse 27 as Jesus begins to give us, right? He's talking about purity, to give us, you've heard this, but I'm telling you this. So here we go. Verse 27. "You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery." Hey, guess what? That's an external confirmation of doing something. And let me tell you this. That's good. Don't commit adultery. Not committing adultery is good. We should not commit adultery. That's good. That's an external rule. "But I say to you," or even more, or even better, "that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart." There's something else going on here that you need to work with. Because see, there's this connection from the inside to the out. You've seen this external confirmation, right? This is good, don't do this. But there's more. There's something on the inside that you need to work on. Mark 7, 20 through 21 says this: "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery." Jesus is saying, listen, don't do this, but it's more than this, because this stuff all starts in the heart. There's more to this. Don't just worry about this external conforming to what is right. But there's an internal conforming to what is right. I want you to think about it like this, okay? I want you to think about it like this. Not committing adultery may be externally motivated by cultural repercussions or retribution in sight of self-preservation. In other words, I'm not going to cheat on my wife, perhaps because of the way everyone would look at me. I'm not going to cheat on my wife, perhaps because of what it would do financially to me, or perhaps what it would do to my children. Do you see the external dynamics there? I mean, God says don't do this, but I'm not really worried about God. I'm worried about what's going to happen to me. It's self-preservation. In the culture of Jesus' time, this is really bad. Even in our culture, this is not looked upon as good. There's other motivating factors to the reason why we might be good on the outside. But Jesus says it must go deeper than that. It must start with your heart. You want to see God? Don't just be good when other people are looking at you. Be pure on the inside, because that really denotes what you want from God and the fact that you want to see him and know him and you want to be like him and participate in that divine nature. You want to be holy as he is holy. then you're striving to clean up what's in here, not just conforming out there. Because listen, culture can make you want to conform out here, but really it's only that desire for a relationship with God that would cause you to want to change in here where nobody sees but God. You hear me? You getting that? You might be good, at least a little, for what people see out there, but the only person when you're changing on the inside that you're changing for is God. And you want to see him, truly see him, know him, connect with him, then you got to change it in here. You got to change it in here. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Here's a scary thought, guys. Here's a scary thought, okay? Our heart thoughts, good and bad, that's who Jesus sees. You see Pastor Thad up here, right? You see Pastor Thad up here, you're thinking, oh, he's a moderately good guy. Me standing here right now is not who Jesus sees. He sees all of me. Even the ugly me. That terrifies me. Because I want to be pure. I want to be good, not just so that you think I'm a good guy, but so that I can connect with God, so that I can see him, so that I can know him. And I'm so imperfect. I am so happy for OxyClean and the way God sees me through Jesus. But I so want to even right now be clean with Jesus, be clean with the Holy Spirit. And let me just take a moment here just to throw this out here, okay? When we're talking about lust, in context, Jesus is talking about lust here, and he does use a man to a woman. And I think men do struggle more greatly in this area. But one of the things I've seen in youth ministry and talking with other youth pastors and people who work with collegiate students, for one reason or another, and there's multiple reasons why, and we won't get into all of that, lusting for ladies is no more about romantic novels and this wrong-headed concept of romance in some ways. But they're struggling with lust and pornography and all the things that men are struggling with now as well. I'm willing to bet if you're 45 and younger as a lady, this has become something real to you as well. There was a conversation that I overheard a college pastor was telling me, and they were talking about going on these trips to the beach or to the pool or whatever, and the ladies were, you wear the one piece and maybe a shirt or something, but then guys could just wear their shorts, you know, their swim trunks. And he was talking with these ladies, and like, do you really think we're not looking at the guys? That we're not lusting after them? I mean, what are you trying to do here? This is a both and in our culture. We all have to work on this. So don't think 50% of us out there are just kind of like, I don't need this. We all need this. Be careful here. Jesus is talking about what comes out of the heart, lust, all of this. Now listen, I want to tell you that lusting after another person is not looking, seeing them, acknowledging that they're beautiful or handsome, and that's it, right? You know, you're human. Oh, this is an attractive person. God did a really good job there. Nothing wrong with that, right? Nothing wrong with that. It's the second look, and the third look, and the gaze, and the stare that adds to the problem. Lust can be defined as this: a moment in time when a desire becomes overwhelming to the senses in which it monopolizes the focus of an individual inappropriately. It's when you've allowed this thing to overtake your mind. It's monopolized. It's what you think about. It's you're looking. It just overtakes you. It can also be seen as when an individual is in the process of inappropriately desiring, fantasizing, or planning on engaging the object desire for personal fulfillment. That's lusting. That's lusting. These are the things that we have to guard against. Let me also say this, okay? Adultery, the full act, doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. What starts as fantasy leads to flirting, which leads to failure. I have never once counseled with a person, man or woman, who come to me and said, yes, I met someone at a gas station, we said hello, and then we had an affair. You know? It doesn't happen. But here's how it happens. You begin to fantasize. You begin to think about it. Then all of a sudden you start to find ways to flirt with this opportunity. You become too comfortable. And then eventually you lead into failure and make a mistake. I think of David and Bathsheba, right? David was already where he wasn't supposed to be, up on that roof. Sees Bathsheba, right? Again, wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. But what would have happened if he'd say, oh, whoa, okay, and left the roof? I walked away. But no, he stayed and he stared and he fantasized. He took advantage of his ability as king, and he failed. We have to fight this if we desire to have a relationship with God, and certainly we don't want to go to the extreme. So how do we fight this? Well, Jesus tells us. Jesus tells us. And if you've not read your Bible before, and or if maybe you're not a Christian, you've never heard this before, you're in for a shock, okay? But understand, Jesus is using a classic teaching maneuver here, a rhetoric. He's teaching in hyperbole. He's using hyperbolic language. Verses 29 through 30. So this is how Jesus says, fight this. You guys with me? Am I making sense this morning? Okay, all right, I'm just checking. Because every once in a while you need the reset button, right? So Matthew 5, verses 29 through 30, Jesus tells us how to fight this. It says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it's better for you to lose one of your members than your whole body be thrown into hell. Well now, that's something. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away, for it's better that you lose one of your members than your whole body go into hell. Hyperbole. Grand language. You could call it wrecking ball language. Wrecking ball language is a language in which you say something that's outlandish to try to move the conversation one inch. When someone is just grounded in something, they're not going to move, they're seated, you use hyperbolic language to get them to move one inch, to get them to change. You say something that's so left field. You see it in politics all the time. Someone will say something just completely outlandish, and they know that it's outlandish, but they're hoping to move your thought just an inch, just an inch or two. Jesus is using this style of teaching. He does not literally mean, if your eye causes you to sin, to cut it out. He doesn't literally mean that. But what he's showing you is the gravity of how serious this is. You need to be proactive in your fight for purity, to be able to see God. You need to take it serious, and that's what he's saying here. It's very interesting. So if you look at your life, anybody ever heard of a SWOT analysis? Strength, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. Just take the T there. Take threats there. If the eye represents a bit of your mind, what you take into your mind, and your hand represents actions, where are the threats to your mind and to your hands and to your actions? Right? Are you being proactive and trying to make sure that you don't fall into a place of temptation, a place to look? A couple things that we can do here to make sure that we don't fall into these dynamics. What we must do if we want to see God and have the entire person move towards purity. First thing, you got your pen and paper? Here we go. You need to recommit to your relationship to Jesus. James 4:8 says this, draw near to God, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. One of the most blessed truths in Scripture, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Then watch, cleanse your hands, external, do right things, be proactive. You sinners, and purify your hearts internally, you double-minded. Make sure that you're seeking after God alone. So here's what it's saying. Draw near to God. Come to him in prayer. Stop doing the bad things outwardly and make sure that your heart is purified and seeking God only on the inside. And you can pray 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from, here's a very important word, all unrighteousness, inward and outward. Draw near to God. Pray 1 John 1:9. That's your first step. Today, before you leave today, if you're saying, God, I want to seek you with all of my heart, I want to be pure on the inside and the outside, the first thing that you need to do is draw near to God and ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The second thing you need to do externally is you need to commit to obey the word of God. Psalm 119:9 says this, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it. How? According to your word. Commit to live out the Bible. Let me give you one dynamic on how you can do this, okay? Here it is. Run. Run. If you think there's a situation you're going to be in that's going to cause you to be tempted to have an impure heart, right, or to conform to some outward action that's wrong externally, run, flee. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. Leave the place. If I'm in the gym, right, I'm working out, and some barely dressed ladies come over to my area, like seriously, I'll be working out, right? I'm focused. If let's say they come over here, if I can't really move because I have to use a certain piece of equipment, I will literally turn my back and in between sets, sit down and turn my back and look away. I hope no one thinks I'm a huge jerk in the gym, but I am not gonna look. I'm not gonna stare. I'm not gonna allow myself to go there. And when I'm done, I'm gonna find someplace else in the gym to go. I've committed to obey the word of God, and I've committed to run. Like Joseph, Potiphar's house, when his wife came to him, that brother just ran. So when I'm in the gym or you're in a play, run. If there's a coworker snuggling up to you a little bit, trying to get cozy, run. I mean, don't be mean about it. Like somebody comes up to you like, ah! You know, don't do that. But be nice, man. Be professional. Excuse you. Don't let yourself be caught in an area you don't need to be. And then find somebody to talk to about it. Find somebody to talk to about it. I've talked to many pastors who start to feel their hearts slip a little bit or think some bad thoughts, and we'll talk about that, pray about that, and then they need to change the dynamics of their relationship wherever they are. You can do that externally. So easy. Run. What can we do internally? Internally. Oh, this is so good. So good. We need to think about our thought life. We need to think about our thought life. Did you know that your neurological pathways get trained? You train your mind into how you think. You know that? You can actually see in the brain there's things that light up. You get trained into how you think, and you need to retrain your neurological pathways to think righteously. Because we get into these negative habits, right? We get into these negative habits of thinking. You know when people talk about music, whether good or bad, and how it impacts you? And I don't want to overstate this, okay? I'm not telling you can't listen to certain kinds of, I don't want to go that far, but if you listen to some things too much, you put junk in, you're going to get junk out because it's going to train your mind to think in that way. Right? You're thinking what you're hearing. It gets in there. But let me get this more back to what we're talking about today. Have you ever been in the situation you say, I don't want to think about this, I don't want to think about it, I don't want to think about it, and you end up thinking about it? Try this exercise, right? I'm going to tell you, do not think about the number 8. Don't think about 8. Stop it. Stop thinking about 8. Are you thinking about 8? Don't think about it. Next slide. Don't think about it. Don't think about 8. Next slide. Don't think about 8. Next slide. Are you thinking about 8 right now? Here's the deal. Sometimes you get stuck and you're telling yourself, don't think about it, don't think about it, don't think about it. And what are you doing? You're thinking about it. Think about something else. Here's how brilliant scripture is. Finally, brothers, Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Sometimes in order to stop thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about, it's not you trying to stop thinking about those, but rather having a heart that desires only God and thinking about these things. Pure things. I can't tell you, the first time I heard this, it blew my doors. It was like a moment. And yes, that was a high-pitched voice right there. Was it Aaron Neville? Who was the guy who had that big fella light voice? Anyway. Little people. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. Think about these things. Spiritual disciplines. When you try to think about these things, right? Scripture's telling us. Memorize scripture. Have something to think about. Psalm 119:11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Man. So what do we do if we want to see God? We must have a movement of the entire person towards purity. But first is recognizing this. The unredeemed heart, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? We got to be changed. We got to pray 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man. It's like Crystal Light and OxyClean, right? My first challenge is those who have never known Jesus, who've never had their heart changed. You're one thing. You need to become something different and righteous today before God. And at the end of this message, you're going to have an opportunity. Tammy and I are going to be in the back. We would love to pray with you and help you be changed. But it's also like OxyClean. Even though maybe you're changed, you're something different, but you just feel this way. You want to feel this way. Tammy and I will be in the back to pray with you. And hear this too. Listen, Tammy and I are not a magical talisman. Maybe you want to come down here and pray. Maybe you want to turn around in your seat and pray. Maybe you just want to stand and pray. But whatever you want to do, if you want to be clean, OxyClean, with Jesus, confess your sins to him today and let him cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And when you leave here, I challenge you. Be proactive in your life. Obey the word. Run from sin. Get someone to hold you accountable. Retrain your thinking. Memorize scripture and think on good things. We're going to close with a quote, and it's one that you've heard 1,000 times. I'm going to change it just a little bit. So sow a pure thought and reap a pure act. Sow a pure act and reap a pure habit. Sow a pure habit and reap a pure character. And sow a pure character, then reap a pure destiny and see God. I hope that's your heart today. Let me pray. Father God, your scripture says that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And today we've talked about how to do it. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you move the hearts and minds of every person in this room and every person hearing us online. God, that today we would pray to you and we would be made righteous, made pure as we leave this place, Father God, made pure as we get ready to sing to you, as we get ready to sing to you and say that our heart is yours, God, that we would pray first to make sure that it is yours. And God, that we would commit, Father God, to run from sin and to change our heart, our thinking. We praise you, Jesus. Work on